Matthew chapter number 17, Levi, tax collector, Matthew the publican, the kind of person everybody hated. Matthew chapter number 17, verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Father, bless your holy word now. In thy name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. So the voice from heaven, the Almighty, speaking in reference to his Son, said, hear him. Listen to what he has to say. Hear ye him. So this morning I'm going to preach a message about hearing what he had to say, or looking at the deafening silence from the pulpit in America now. What you don't hear that you heard 5 or 10 years ago, but now you don't hear it anymore. Which, of course, is a gauge of the apostasy of the church, of where it is. It is in free fall. It's in free fall now. It's not gradually slipping back. It is in free fall. And so you better take hold of the truth. You better set your anchor where it belongs. And you better take a good long look at what you believe. Amen. John chapter number 3, the Lord said, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. And you start with that because that's the beginning. He said plainly, Nicodemus, you must be born again. I don't hear much preaching about born again. I hear a lot of preaching about feel good. I hear a lot of preaching about how that God has all these blessings that He wants to pour out upon you, regardless of how you live your life. And all of this is coming from America's pulpits today. That's such a sad thing. But this is what we have. Matthew chapter number 4, verse 17. He has just left the greatest temptation that was ever faced on this earth. And the scripture says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He preached the new birth, and he preached repentance. You don't hear much about repentance anymore. What you hear, of course, is what I said. What does it mean to repent? Repentance is far more than a change of mind. Repentance is a change of heart that has to do with who you are before God. It doesn't have anything to do with what way you see things, and you decide you're going to do better, or you're going to turn over a new leaf, or you're going to make a New Year's resolution. That's not repentance. Repentance is when you see yourself as God sees you, and you don't like it, and you say, Lord, help me, and you turn to Him and say, forgive me for the mess I'm in, for I did it all myself. Samuel Little sits in a prison right now. In this prison, this man is, he's drawing pictures of his victims. Samuel Little has killed 93 people. They say he's the worst serial killer that has ever lived in the United States of America. The people that talk to him say that he has absolutely no remorse for what he has done. That he talks about it like you talk about going fishing or something like that. Absolutely no conviction. What is that, preacher? That's a reprobate mind. That's a hardened heart. That's a man that is one heartbeat away from hell. That is a man that needs to repent. And repentance comes with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Go look him up. Samuel Little. The Bible said in Matthew 4, verse 1, when Jesus was led of the Spirit of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. At the point of the highest relationship Christ could have to the Father, because it was there that he laid himself out before the Father, it was there that the devil came to him. Let me warn you, you're in a spiritual battle for your soul. It's not a game. It's not a game. You're in a spiritual battle for your soul. The closer you get to God, the closer you're going to get to the devil. For he's going to come after you like you've never seen him before. Say, preacher, then what am I supposed to do? Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. You're the only one. You're the only one that knows your heart except for God. God knows everything there is about us. We can be deceived. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God says, I search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I want to preach to you some of this morning on a level that you may never have heard preached before. I want to preach deep to you. I want to talk to you where you are and what you are into your heart and in your soul. America today is a land of shallowness. People are very shallow. The reason they're shallow is because they're accustomed to living by what they have been fed from the outside. They get emotionally attached to the singers. They worship them. They think about them all day long. They are fed from the outside because there's nothing inside. When you're empty down deep inside your heart, then in order for you to survive, you've got to have this constant touching, this emotion, this feeding from the outside. And that's what people are looking for today. But my friend, if you've been born of the Spirit of God, God's living inside you. You've got one inside you bigger than what's outside there. And that one that is in you, my dear friend, will take you deep. He'll take you deeper. He'll take you deeper than you ever thought you'd be. He'll take you out of yourself, by yourself, through yourself, to God Almighty Himself. In Him we live and move and have our beings. Our problem is that we feed our flesh, feed ourselves, think about ourselves, consumed with ourselves. All we talk about is us. Have you ever heard anybody like that? Have you ever heard somebody? From the time they start till the time they shut up, it's all about me, myself, and I, me, myself, and I, me, myself, and I. They're enamored. They're in love with themselves. Matthew 12:41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The Lord Jesus Christ is infinitely and eminently greater than Jonas. And Jonas was a wonderful man of God. But Christ is not compared to anything. He is incomparable. He's above us. He's God Himself. And so he said in Matthew 12, this generation would have preached, repented at the preaching of Jonas, and they did. The Bible says plainly, nay, I say to you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I pray before you walk out of this house today that something grabs your heart and you begin to think about where you're headed, because the Lord Jesus preached on hell. More than anybody that's ever walked the face of this earth. He preached on hell. He mentioned fire, 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 20 times at least in the Word of God. Matthew 5:22, he said, I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Listen to this one. Matthew chapter number 12, verse 5. I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. If the Lord Jesus Christ said that, my dear friend, we better listen. We better perk our ears up. We'd better listen. Is there anybody in here this morning that's one step away from hell? You're one heartbeat away from hell? You're going to a place that'll shock you to death when you get there because you don't believe it exists and yet you'll be there. You can't deny where you are. A lot of people are very religious. They go to church all the time. They're good people. As far as America is concerned, you're just good. You're safe. You're okay. But as far as God's concerned, he that hath the Son hath life. But he that hath not the Son hath not life. He said, yea, I say unto you, fear him. You say, I don't fear God, preacher. Get on your knees and get right with him and you'll fear him. Modern theology has warped and twisted your mind. What did Christ say about self-love? Luke chapter 14, verse 26. This is what he said now. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Is there anywhere for self-love in that? There's nowhere. Ephesians 5:29, the apostle said, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." Then Paul warned in 2 Timothy, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Why am I preaching about that this morning? Because if you're full of self-love, you don't know what repentance is about. If you're full of self-love, you have no idea what conviction is about. If you're full of self-love, you do not know anything about the new birth. Do you want to see a revival? Send it across this nation to all of these Pied Pipers standing in the pulpits on TV and telling people to love themselves. Every one of them needs to get right with God. Amen. Amen. Every one of them, if they got right with God and repented and said, "I'm wrong, I've been wrong. I'm telling you wrong. I'm telling you it's not, what I've said is wrong. You don't need to love yourself. That's what's wrong with us now." You might see the move of the Spirit of God. For now, my friend, it's when the heart begins to empty itself. It's when the soul begins to hunger for God more than stuff. That's when you may see a real revival break out. That's what he said. What did Christ say about power and prayer? I preached a revival meeting one time in Roanoke, Alabama. I'll never forget this. One of the people they introduced me to was an older man. And they said, "This is Brother So-and-so. He prays." That's what they said about him. He prays. He comes to the church house and he prays hour on end. He prays. That was his ministry from God. He was a prayer warrior. Not just 5 or 10 or 15 minutes here. No! He prayed for hour after hour after hour. I listened to the testimony a couple of days ago of a girl that grew up and her father was a pastor. The father was a pastor. She said that he would go down to the church house and he would pray for hours. One time he went down to the church house and she would go crawl off into the dark and listen to him because it did so much for her. Because her dad, she had a dad that knew how to get a hold of God. It was as easy for him to stop talking to you and start talking to God as it is to be breathing like I am this morning. She said she went in there and she heard him talking to the Lord. And she said, he said, "Lord, we've got $500 bill that we're going to have to pay for this church. And you know what's going to happen if we can't pay it. And Lord, you know that these coal miners that live around here, they don't have the money. We're going to have to give them money. Lord, we have to have $500. She said he no sooner got saying that the door knocked. He went to the door and a young woman walked in there. She had five $100 bills in her hand. She said, "Somebody told me to come here and give this to you." This girl was in the dark and she saw that happen. She heard it and she saw what God had done, how quickly he had answered his prayer. And she began to shout and her daddy was startled because he didn't know she was in there with him. She loved her daddy. If I had a daddy like that, I'd love him too. Amen. If you got a praying daddy, if you got a Christian daddy, if you got a daddy that loves the Lord, you ought to thank God for him. You ought to get on your knees and say, "Lord, thank you for what you've given me." Amen. So the Bible said he said something about prayer. What did he say about prayer, preacher? Here's what he said. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And the Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." All we need is a few prayers like that. Amen. That's the foundation of the church outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. A few prayers. I mean real prayers. I'm talking about somebody who may not be physically able to do anything, but they can pray. They get along with God and they're prayer warriors. They're intercessors. They call upon the name of the Lord. They call out to God and say, "Lord, help that preacher. Help that preacher. He's going to war when he gets in the pulpit. And Lord, bless that church. Bless that church. And Lord, save souls. Save souls." And God, who's the Lord of the harvest, will give souls in due time. Wouldn't you like to see them walk down here and get saved? Wouldn't you like to see people
born again of the Spirit of God. I say with the old timers when they used to say, does God do anything except in answer to prayer? They prayed. But Ed Ballou talked about times he would walk out into the woods and he'd walk down through the valleys and he said he could hear them out there behind the trees and behind the logs. He said he could hear them out there praying. He said he heard his mama out there praying, calling upon God. We don't have much of that anymore, do we? We think organization, we think that orchestration, we think all of that can replace prayer. No, it can't. I respect that man in Roanoke, Alabama. He was a prayer. I respect that brother. I wish I'd known him. I wish I could have met him. He was a prayer. His daughter said that he called his family in one day. And he called his family in and he said, I'm going home. The Lord told me now, I'm going home today. Now, if you want to make a fool out of yourself, you tell somebody you're going to pass from this earth and just wait to pass from this earth that day. No man has power over his spirit. But do you know what? He left that day. He was a man that walked with God. We need people that will walk with God. Enoch walked with God and God took him. Amen. Oh, we're dying because we don't have power. We need power. That power comes from prayer. Have you ever heard of Barbara Comiskey? I just found out about her a couple of days ago. And it's such a wonderful thing that happened to this young woman. I've got to read it for you this morning. I want to give you something that will uplift you. Something that will help you. You may be scratching and clawing around in the dark. You may be in the pit. You may be where you feel like you've wasted everything. There's no hope for you. But listen to this. She was a teenager when she noticed strange things happening to her. After being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, her condition continually worsened. She was given 6 months to live. She was confined to bed, body contracted, a permanent fetal position, a tracheostomy tube in her neck to provide oxygen to her compromised lungs, and feeding tube in her stomach since she could no longer swallow. Her hands were so permanently fixed that their fingers nearly touched her wrist. She could not clear her secretions and with a paralyzed diaphragm was recurrently hospitalized for pneumonias and asthma. You never imagined that multiple sclerosis could be so horrible. Then came one of the most humiliating problems for a young woman. Losing the ability to control urination and bowels. She had to have a catheter permanently placed into her bladder, an ileostomy created in her abdomen with a bag attached for her bowels. Despite all the efforts, her condition continued to deteriorate. She began to lose her vision, soon could not read anymore. She became legally blind and could hardly move out of her bed. A lung collapsed and required a large tube to be placed in her chest to expand the lung. Then in 1980, to add to her humiliation, she required the creation of a tracheostomy, a hole in her neck for a breathing tube connected to oxygen to keep her from being chronically short of breath. But it gets good. Many people offered prayer. Prayer warriors began to cry out to God. This is a young person and she's smitten with this horrible wasting disease. The girls came one day to see her and gathered around making small talk and trying to be friendly, trying to show her some compassion and love, which is a good thing. Sometimes just being there is all you need to do. You don't have to be sanctimonious. Just be there. When there was a lull in the conversation, a man's voice spoke from behind Barb. But there was no man in the room. The words were clear and articulate and spoken with great authority, but also with great compassion. The voice said, my child, get up and walk. Barb turned around. No one was standing there, but she knew immediately who was speaking. I don't know what you're going to think about this, she said to the girls, but God just told me to get up and walk. Her friends suddenly became very quiet. I know he really did, she said. Run and get my family. I want them here with us. Her friends, recognizing the urgency in Barb's voice, bound to the doorway to yell for her family. Come quickly, come quick. Barb felt compelled to do immediately what she was divinely instructed, so she literally jumped out of bed and removed her oxygen. She was standing on legs that had not supported her for years. Her vision was back. She was no longer short of breath. Even without her oxygen, her contractions were gone, and she could move her feet and hands freely. She walked out of the room. She was first, listen to this, met by her mother, who immediately dropped to her knees and felt Barb's calves. Mother said, "You got muscles again." What a God. What a God that I serve. What a God. What a God. Amen. The Bible tells me that the Lord seeketh those who will worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. The Scripture says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I read about a couple of Christians. They went to a hotel. They left the door open. They weren't thinking about danger. There were two murderers in that hotel. Murderers. And they walked into that room where those young Christians were. And they said, "Get on the floor." The man did. He fell down on the floor, scared to death. But his wife, she looked at those two murderers, and she started walking toward them, singing a gospel song. They were taken aback. They literally turned and looked at each other and fled from the room. Amen! Amen! They could not stand in the congregation of the righteous. Amen! Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They didn't want to handle that. What is this? They thought. It's like that reporter said, "What is John 3:16? How ignorant. You got a college degree and you don't know what John 3:16 is? They cheated you." Amen. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus, He's able to do above and beyond all that you ask or think. You may be sitting in this house today and everything's falling apart around you. Everything you've tried doesn't work. You wonder if God's even there. Does He hear me? Is there a God in heaven? What am I doing anyway? Spinning my wheels. Let me tell you something. The one that spoke to this girl afflicted spoke to her and said, "Get up." She obeyed the voice she heard, and God healed her right on the spot. Amen. Now you can get on the internet and look up Barbara Comiskey. Look her up. Her name's Barbara Comiskey Snyder now. She's married, got children. Beautiful lady. And her testimony is all over the internet about what God did for her. And she has given courage and help and comfort to a lot of people who didn't have any hope. Let me tell you something. You came to the right one. Not me, but the one that I preach. If you come down here this morning and call on His name, He'll answer you. He may not answer you the way you want Him to, the time you want Him to, but if you'll cast your care upon Him, He'll hear you, and He'll answer you, and He'll answer you in His way. Aren't you glad for that? Oh, I'm so glad for that. I am glad. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Father, in Thy name I pray. I pray You'd use the message for the glory of God. There may be somebody in this house this morning, Lord, they know they want to move. They know they need to. They know, without a shadow of a doubt, that You're talking to them. They know that I'm just a messenger. That's all I am. But You're talking to them. Their heart has been moved in a way that they haven't felt it move in a long time. Or some of them, the first time it's ever really been moved. Whatever the case is, I pray that they'd come. Oh, in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed. Nobody's looking this morning. This is a private time, personal time. Anybody in the house, raise your hand and say, "Preacher Lawson, I know what you're talking about. I know. God's speaking to me through this message, and I need to do something about it. Would you pray for me, preacher?" I'll pray for you. Yes, sir, I'll pray for you. Would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand, anybody? Nobody's looking. God bless you back there. God bless you back there.
God bless you up here. God bless you. God bless you. I'm going to pray right now in a minute. Hallelujah to God. Listen, folks. The spirit of prayer is in here right now. And God is in this house to do something to help you. When the time comes, when it's the right time, that's the time to do something about it. Anybody else, raise your hand and say, "Preacher, God's beginning to speak to my soul like I haven't in a long time. And I've been wondering what's wrong and where do I go? What do I do? How do I get help?" Come back to Bethel. Come back to where it all started. Come back to the one that you went away from. Anybody else, raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me." Anybody? God bless you. God bless you back there. Amen. God bless you. That's quite a few hands that have gone up this morning. Anybody else now? Anybody? I'm going to pray. Father, I pray for your blessing upon this congregation. And minister your word, Lord. The seed that I've sown this morning, Heavenly Father, it's pure seed. It's the word of God. It's not the word of a man. My word is worth nothing. It's your word that I preach. Now, Heavenly Father, help these souls who raise their hand. Lord, give them that they need to move toward Thee. Lay their life down before You and heal the hurt of their soul. Cleanse them from the power of sin and Satan. And let them rise up and shout and rejoice that the Lord has blessed them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.